I was wondering, I don't know if you've had maybe you are yet, if someone becomes a posek, they give like psakdin, what is that, what does a person do to give psakdin? How do they come to the halakha?
There's a process, you mean?
Yeah, like, if I want to give psak, what do I have to look at? I want to be a posek.
Well, you know, there's no, except for Dayanis, there's no particular course you take. You know, you don't get a certificate saying, you know, you're a posek. Things that are beferish are technically not psak. If you're saying what the Mr. Brewer says, what the Chayyadim says.
So there are certain ones that are, what Mr. Brewer is going against other, the Mahokas is.
In other words, the meaning of a posek, in a technical term, is somebody who could be machriya among machloksim. So if somebody already did a hachra, like the Mishnah Berura or the Shach or the Tataz, and there's not, you know, and that's makubal, so you can know all of that, and if you know all of that, you can certainly paskin, but that's not what we call a posek. Posek is somebody who is machriya. So the question is, what does he do? So he does, there's a lot of things he does. Number one, he looks at all the Rishonim and Achronim. But number two, the real criteria of a posek is that he can go back to the Gemara and the Rishonim and be machriya in the machloksim of Achronim based on the mashmos of the sugya, and he'll bring rayas, he'll bring more rayas, that this is more mistavra than that, etc. So that requires a great Talmud Chacham, to be a posek. You know, again, I mean, there are many. This is the difference between a posek and a mora hara. We actually have two lashonos. A mora hara is a person that you can ask shailos to, and he can tell you, and he might be very knowledgeable. I mean, most competent rabbis are mora hara, and that's very important. Mora hara should be a Talmud Chacham, obviously. But a posek is already a kamat. I mean, we use the word posek loosely, but a real posek is one of the gedolei hador, who could be machriya barayos in machloksim among achronim. And the process basically is, it depends. Let's say a posek like Rav Shlomo Zalman, like Rav Yashiv, they would be machriya, or Moshe, they would be machriya from the Gemara itself, Very, very hard. Other poskim are more cautious, and sometimes their machriya, this is a more superficial level of psak, their machriya by their survey of all of the achronim, they kind of do a head count. Okay, I've looked at 35 achronim, 18 say yeah, 17 say no, memela the halacha is like the 18. That's a different era. Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't do that, Rav Yashiv didn't do that. Rav Yashiv did not just count, but Rav Adi Yosef, who's also a great posek, often does that, but not only. Tzitz Eliezer often does that. He doesn't go back to the sugya itself. But the really great poskim, and if you go back historically, that's the Rebbe Kiva Eiger, the Knight of Yehuda, the Chassam Sofer. These are the Gedolei poskim. They go back to a sugya with Rishonim and they're machriya halacha.
What are they doing? Cases they never came up before, or cases that Afron talked about, and they're just going to decide which Afron to hold like?
So there's a mixture. Sometimes there are new cases, and sometimes there are old cases, and they'll be machriya. They'll be machriya. They'll say, okay, yes, Acharon so-and-so says so-and-so, but based on my diyukim in the Gemara and the like, it is more mistaver to me the halacha is the other way.
And it's just based on how confident somebody is?
Yeah, so there's a category called Talmid Shehigia Lahira. How does a person know, right? How does a person know? That's a good question. Rav Isher Zalman used to say, Rav Isher Zalman Meltzer, as a young man, was the Rav of Slutsk. And then when he was older, he became the Rosh Hashiva of Slutsk, and then he came to Eretz Yisrael. So he said on himself, he says, he's going to be in trouble both ways, because when he was a Rav who had to paskin, he was a Talmud Shalai Higia Lahaira Umayra. Chazal say, if you're lucky enough. And then, now that he's Rosh Hashiva, he's a Talmud Shehigia L'Hayra V'Ein Omayra. Now, Chazal condemn both things. Chazal say, if you're Higia L'Hayra V'Lo Omayra, or Lo Higia L'Hayra, he gets hit in both ways. Because he was a rav when he was young, and he was a shiva when he was old, and you know, he gets in trouble. But how do you know? You know, for many years, you know, Rav Eliashiv, again, people don't realize Rav Eliashiv was very active in the rabbinate. Rav Eliashiv was the chief dayan in the rabbinate space then. And he was in charge of giving bechinas to dayanim. He didn't take a bechina himself. At first, I just took him. He was in charge of, he would test people who wanted to be dayanim. And the people who learn for dayanis are they're talmid chacham. These are people who already have smicha. These are people who learn for many, many years, and they're mumchim in Shulchan Aruch. I mean, you know, a candidate for a dayan. Now, you may not get a job, because a dayan is a political job. In other words, you can go to a dayanis kaila, but whether you'll be a dayan depends on openings. It's not like there's no guarantee. You could be certified as a dayan, but it is a government job ultimately. It's like going to Supreme Court school, you know. So he would give the bechinas, and he said that among the mitzuyanim there were two types of dayanim. There was the dayan that knew every sifkata in chayshin mishpa. They knew like every shach, every sma. They knew where everything was. And then there were dayanim who didn't really know where everything was, but they knew the yesedas of the sugyas in Gemara and Rishayim, and they knew where to find things if they had to look for it. They didn't have this memory of Simon Chofet. And Rav Eliashiv said it was the second type that would be a greater dayan. Because a person has this memory, he knows the Shulchan Aruch Kol, but if he doesn't have an understanding of the yesedas, he will not be able to apply it. That's the thing. 9 out of 10 times, you're not going to get a shiloh that's exactly... It's exactly what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about. You'll get some case that has more kav, you know. It's, and what you have to do is you have to be able to apply what the Shulchan Aruch says to your situation. But if you don't understand the yesodos of it, you're not going to be able to apply it. So he said it's much more important. That's why he said himself in his own nimut, as a younger man, I don't know how many years this was, he says that for many, many years he did not learn Shulchan Aruch. He learned Gemara and Rishayim. And by learning Gemara and Rishayim over and over and over and over and over again, then when you learn the Shulchan Aruch, you know, it flows because you see where everything comes from. He says, but he didn't spend a lot of time on halacha. In fact, he didn't even like halacha kaidulim generally that much. Because the problem with halacha kaidulim is they often want to jump to the halacha lemaisa right away, without spending time, because they think I'm spending too much time on the Gemara, you know, that's not halacha l'maisa. He says, pump the character. If a person wants to paskin halacha l'maisa, you have to spend a lot of time on the yesodos of Gemara. You see what he said? Yeah. And this is emes. If you look at the G'day life, for example, you look at Rabbi Yashiv's own tshuvas, and you look at the classic tshuvas, the greatest, the Neid of Yehuda, the Chassam Sefer Rabbi Kiva Eger, you see it's all based on the Gemara. You know.
So,
tell you the truth, this may be heretical. The Mishnah is not the best safer for halacha l'maisa. Number one, the Mishnah is very, very complicated. Number two, the Mishnah is often not machriya. You need a whole limud. He gives you so many different signals. Will bring you a lot of opinions, and he'll say, yesh lahachmer, yesh lahakil, bal nefesh yachmer, yayuri shamayim, you know. The Chavetz Chaim's job was not to be machriya halacha l'maisa. If you want to know actual halacha l'maisa, actual, what do I do, it's better to get the modern svarim that are written, that have good haskamas. So Hilchos Shabbos, Orchos Shabbos is very helpful. What they do basically is they have a lot of face-to-face shemush and conversation with live gedolim. So the typical sefer that comes out today will be somebody in Eretz, some guy in Eretz Yisrael who's been learning for a number of years, who just spent a lot of time with either Shlomo Zalman, that's a little older, Rebel Yashiv, Rav Vajner, Rav Nissen Karevitz. We have, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, we have people. There are people who are muchzik as gedolei haposkim. Shlomo Zalman was one of them. Rav Eliashiv was one of them. Rav Yosef, although it's a little different. And these svarim are written by people who spend a lot of time with actual shemesh and actually talking to these gedolim, and that's how they apply. So to learn the Mishnah Berurah and try to apply it to modern life, bichlal, is difficult. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't deal with electricity. That he doesn't deal with a lot of shabbos.
There's something
the
Mishnah Berurah says. Can you go by it?
Yeah.
What if there's different opinions? Can you go by the most major opinion?
You know, it is hard. I can't answer that in the abstract because it depends on how the Mishnah Berurah presents the maker opinion. If the Mishnah Berurah says Yochol Lismoch Alav, yeah. But sometimes the Mishnah Berurah presents an opinion, and he says Nochol Mahachmer. You know, so I can't tell you whether you could be Samech. I mean, there's certainly no rule that whenever the Mishnah Berurah brings a maker opinion, you could be Samech on it, because sometimes he brings a maker opinion to tell you you shouldn't be Samech on it.
So is it better not to?
Yeah, but don't blame the Mishnah Berurah. In other words, if the Mishnah Berurah brings Lamashal a Muggin of Rum and says, we're not Samech on it, so you can't say, well, I'm following a view brought in the Mishnah Berurah. I mean, you're basically saying, I'm following the Muggin of Rum. All right? So let me put it this way. Who knows what's going to happen after 120 years when you go to Hashem? But if you're following a view of someone that is Makubal in Kol Yisrael as a major authoritative posek, then, Aliba Diemis, at least with the Evid, you know, you're not doing an Aveira. Yeah, you have to say that. I mean, what are you going to say? If I did what the Magen Avraham said, even if many people disagree, you know, it's not shaykh to say you did something wrong.
What about, let's say, Rambam? We go by Rambam?
So that's a little different. That's an interesting shayla. The shayla basically is this: whether, because of the Shulchan Aruch and the Nisei Kalim, can you go back to Rishayna, even the Rambam? Can I go back to Rishayna that seem to have been rejected, are not accepted in the codification of the Shulchan Aruch? So there, many poskim say it's not shaykh. They actually compare it a little bit to going back to poskiming like Beis Shammai. I mean, let's say I go back to the Gemara. How far are you going to go? Machlokes Tanoim. Right? Well, okay. I like Beis Shammai. Okay, Beis Shammai is usually the Chumrah, but whatever. Let's say it's an opinion. The Kula, we don't poskim like. A person certainly cannot go back to the Gemara, because if the poskim were machriya not like that Gemara, so, you know, it's nitcha. So, some have said there's a similar process with the Rambam, you know, and the Shulchan Aruch.
Isn't that even like when, let's say, Bishamay was around?
Yeah.
They're around.
Yeah.
So, at those times, the person could have chosen what
yeah,
he wants?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just later on, what was
it? Until there was a psak. Well, the question is, when was there a psak?
And the psak is going to change again? But why don't I come out? I want to come out with the new Shulchan Aruch, and yeah. Pass my Rambam every day.
Well, okay. So the question, so the question is, what made the Shulchan Aruch so authoritative? What made the Rambam authoritative?
When Rambam came out, he was authoritative. Then Shulchan Aruch comes out, he's authoritative. So I'll come out
Well, you could try it and see. I mean, the issue. You're right. I mean, the issue is somebody writes a sefer of halacha based on his judgment of what is emes. Whether or not it becomes authoritative depends on whether Kol Yisrael or the Gedolim of Kol Yisrael are makabel. You know, in a chinamik. Rav Yosef Karo was only one person. He was not. He was not the head of a Sanhedrin. The Rambam was not the head of a Sanhedrin. But what made the Shulchan Aruch the Shulchan Aruch was the Kabbalah of Am Yisrael.
So
theoretically, it would be Shayach. Would be Shayach.
It's going to be like the halacha is that we go out to the minhag or that's accepted. Because won't be able to do what.
It's a little different than minhag, because if something is a minhag, it's only a minhag, although even then we follow it. But if there's a minhag to be machriya a halacha in a certain way, then you would be machriyev to follow that.
So that would be the Rambam.
Yeah. Now, there are those, though, that say, there are those that say that if one really wants to follow the Rambam in everything, one is permitted to do that. Even after the Shulchan Aruch, if you want to follow the Rambam, you can do it, but it wouldn't be shaykh on an individual halacha to say, I want to follow the Rambam connected to the Shulchan Aruch. They say Rav Yitzchak Zalman, although I'm not sure if this was in everything. They say Rav Yitzchak Zalman actually was a litvakist, so certainly he didn't have any Masorah following the Rambam. But he says he followed the Rambam. He said he had spent so many years writing on the Rambam that he felt that the Rambam was his Rebbe. And he was become of the Rambam Shitas on everything. So, on that level, it's Shaykh. Also, Taimanim, there are many Taimanim, Taimani communities. Went with the Rambam, they were not Mekabel Shulchan Aruch.
Was this
inspired
by the Rambam? Like this,
he says the Rambam was his Rebbe, so the Rambam was his Rebbe, because he spent his whole life, you know, trying to understand the Rambam, working on the Rambam, so he felt the Rambam was his teacher.
Yeshivas, so everybody learned Rambams.
Yeah, okay, but once again, how much Rambam do people learn? You know, they learn three Rambams in Hilchos Gittin. I mean, every time somebody goes from the Rambam from cover to cover to cover, is Ma'ayin and all of the halachas in the Mishnah Torah. You know, we're not talking about we casually look at the Rambam for this thing and that thing. You know, people learn Rashi and Taisus more than the Rambam, probably. Yeah. So there is such a Musaf like that.
So
I think the Rabbi Chaver also, the Rabbi Chaver was not like the Rambam. The Rabbi Chaver was not Geres Achrayim, including the Shulchan Aruch, which is an Achron. So the Rabbi Chaver got halacha from the Rambam.
So it's better to go by modern halacha books? If somebody only has Mishnah Berurah in his house?
Listen, the Mishnah Berurah is of course an authoritative posek, and in Eretz Yisrael, in America too now, he's considered the posek Achron. All I'm saying is, it is hard to apply the Mishnah Berurah to, number one, to many modern situations. In Hilchos Shabbos, a lot of shaylos are technological shaylos. It's going to be very hard. Indeed, what the Paiskim do today is they use the Mishnah Berurah's Yisodos to, but unless you're a big, unless you have a deep Havana of the Sugyas, it's very hard to apply. Mishnah Berurah is not an easy safer to apply.
What about the Shulchan Aruch and the commentaries on Shulchan Aruch?
Magen Avraham Tav. Yeah, I mean, what is the Mishnah Berurah by and large? The Mishnah Berurah by and large, although he's massive for many Achronim, but the yisod of the Mishnah Berurah is to summarize the Magen Avraham, the Taz, and the Bir Hagrah. So all of them in the Shulchan Aruch. In fact, it's advisable for your own learning that people don't do it. That, you know, go back to the Shulchan Aruch and learn the Magen Avraham and learn the Taz and learn the Bir Hagrah. Then go to the Mishnah Berurah. By the way, you'll also have a tremendous appreciation for how great the Mishnah Berurah is. Because when you've gone through the Makaros that he drew from, then you see how he puts it together so well, the Ber Halacha. And you appreciate it more. Now, they tell me that before World War II, in Europe, in the literature yeshivas, the Aruch HaShulchan was more makubal as a paisek than the Mishnah Berurah. But after the war, the Mishnah Berurah became more mekubal and Aruch Chaim. And part of it was the influence of the Chazon Ish in Eretz Yisrael and Rav Aaron Cutler in Chutz La'aretz, that they held Mishnah Berurah. But in Europe, the Aruch HaShulchan was considered to be a bigger Pesach. The idea was Chafetz Chaim was considered the tzaddik of the door, and the Aruch HaShulchan was the posek of the door. And the Aruch HaShulchan has a reputation for being very megal. Could be the door, we become a more machmer door in many ways. But they say the Mishnah Berurah is generally not mita to chumra. The Mishnah Berurah's general shita is when there's a machlekes, it's better to be machmer than to be vacant. Well, that's his general trend in Hachra. The Mishnah Berurah did not like to decide. The Mishnah Berurah did not like to say this shita is more correct than that shita. He says, since we have this machlekes, it's better to be yaitse all the days. The Aruch HaShulchan, on the other hand, was willing to be machriya. We have a machlokes, but nirla niyastaiti, that this is the correct shita. So it's not so much that he's mekel, although it turns out that way. The yisayt of the Aruch HaShulchan was willing to be machriya in machloksim, where the Mishnah Berurah had a philosophy of being yaitse l'chol ha'deis. So some people are saying they would like, they think that the Aruch HaShulchan ought to be restored to its old prominence. Yeah. It's hard to say.
So when we're learning, we have morning sabers dedicated to the room, and maybe even in the afternoon. How should we learn to not do the superficial halacha that the Yashav was Rachel was criticizing, but we also we want to be that second type of.
So Rav Yashiv himself gave an Eitzah, you know. I mean, first of all, I mean, Rav Yashiv put in so many hours of learning that he was able to learn, you know, everything. So he had enough time where he did everything. But he said b'diyuk that on the Masechtos that you have run, you have the Rif, first of all, the Rif itself is a tremendous way of learning the Yesaitis of Halacha, because the Rif will take a sugya and give you the outline of the Halacha Lamaisa, but not just superficially giving you a rule, like telling you a machlokas. Now, he may take out some of the rayas of the Gemara, machlokas, etc. The Rif will also be mefarish to machlokas. But then, on many Masechtos in Mayin and Nashim, not on the Zikin, you have the Ran on the Rif. And if you learn the Ran is, and there, I mean, I always thought this, Berkshire Kivanti, he says, learning the Ran is a gavaldika way to get a Havana of how you get a Halacha L'maisa from a Sugya. Because he will tell you, Rashi learns the Gemara this way, and this is the result you get. According to Taisvis, this is the result you get. The Rambam will learn this way. So the Ran was before the Shulchan. He says, but through the Ran, you can see how the different Rishayim are might see the Halacha L'maisa from the Gemara. And then you go to the Torah, right? So basically you learn the Rif, you learn the Ran. And then you go to the tour of Beis Yosef, and then you go to the Shulchan Aruch. That's the mahalchim of how you get halacha l'maisa. Now, that's not going to help you with new technological problems, but that will give you yesaitis. And once you have those yesaitis, so you can then apply it to new situations that come up because you have yesaitis. So he said that any masechus that there's a run, once you go through the run, line by line. And ask yourself at every line, what is the Ran being mechadish here? What is the Ran teaching me here? What is he trying to tell me? Although it's not for us to judge writing styles of Rishayim, but it's yadua that the Ran was a very clear writer. Also, the Ran is, I know in the Dorim, you know, for whatever reason, we don't learn that much Rashi on the Sechus to Dorim. It's very difficult, and sometimes it's not Rashi. So the Iker Perish and the Sechus to Dorim is the Ran. And I still remember that when you learn the Ran, you have a certain geschmack, because everything is so clear, everything is spelled out. When you get back to Ran, now it's different than the Rashbam. The Rashbam is also Marich, but it's interesting that the Rashbam is Marich, but it's hard, it's a harder style. Well, the Ran is Marich, and it's a flowing style. Rashi's godless was, he was able to be Makatzer and say so much, but the Ran is like very Marchiv in Hezbollah. So it's good to learn the Ran. So I would say, basically, if you want to learn halacha well, you do the Gemara, Rashi, Taisus, the Rith and the Ran, then the Rambam, then the Torah, Beis Yosef. So a lot of the other Rishayim, again, I mean, the more you do, the better. But a lot of the other Rishayim, I would say, are less necessary. In other words, if you have to choose, because of the time limitations, I would say that the Ran would be the Iker Rishayim to choose, even over the Rashba and the Ramban, reason being because the Ran brings the Rashba and the Ramban. So in a sense, and he explains them, so in a sense you can kill two birds with one stone, and by learning the Ran well, you will know the Rambam, Taisus, Rashba, and Ramban. And then you can always go to the Ramban. If there's something in the Ran that you don't hear what the Ramban is saying, then you know the Ramban. But that would be selective. You would go to the Rashba and the Ran to be mashlim what you don't understand from the Ran. These are ideas. So what you walk away with here is you walk away with fundamentally the Iker Shitos of Rishayim in what the halachic, what the halacha is in a sugya. You know, but you connect it to the Gemara. In other words, it's based on the Gemara. See, the Rif Badavka didn't write like the Rambam. The Rambam gives you Piskei Halacha. You don't know where it's from, you don't know what it's based on, you don't know, that's why the Nisei Kalim tell you what it's in. The Rif was Makatzer the Gemara. The Rif is an abridgment of the Gemara. Right? Now, why did the Rif write it that way? The answer is because the Rif wanted you to know the Halachos from the sugya of the Gemara itself. And the Rif will not just tell you the halacha. The Rif will tell you it's a machloikas, Rav Yehuda and Shmuel, and the Gemara has five rayas to Rav Yehuda and only two rayas to Shmuel, and therefore the halacha is more mistaber like Rav Yehuda. It'll bring you some rayas for it. And yes, if I just learned the Rif, I don't know all of the rayas, and that's why, you know, I should learn the Gemara too. But structurally, I have an outline of what the sugya does. And that's a tremendous thing. You know, in the time of the Bach, during the Middle Ages, it was common in the Pesach Zman that they would learn the Rif on the Masech that they covered in the Winter Zman, meaning they would, let's say, Gittin. They would do Gittin from Elul to Pesach, and from Pesach to Bein Hazmanim, they would do the Rif on the Masech. And that was a minhag for hundreds of years. It got discontinued. But that was the minhag. They would not just learn Rif. The Rebbe would give a Shemit the Rif, and the Mordechai, there's nothing. Mordechai also is very, very good. The Ramah. Look at the Mordechai. The Mordechai is on the Rif. Mordechai is really on the Rif, but he brings the Shitas of Balei HaTaisus under the Shaitan. So you'll see, if you look at a Mordechai, you'll see their Hagos Ramah. Before the Ramah wrote on the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah used to give a shir in Mordechai. That's what the Ramah taught in Krakow. The Ramah gave a daily shir in Hilchos Mordechai. And so today, people barely look at the Mordechai. Unless you're a Pesach, people barely look at the Mordechai. I mean, did you look at the Mordechai in Gittin? Yeah, probably not. But this was important enough that the Ramah was koveya daily shir in Mordechai. Yes.
You can say that particularly, we have. There's two types of Iyun that I would love to be working on. One is what the Shir recommends Rosh Kollel assigns.
The Maariv Kollel.
Right. It's like, we could struggle to finish all the Achronim that he assigns. But what he wants us to do is at each step is to ask, what does this mean? And to ask the right questions and what's going on here, and not to take it for granted or assumptions. That's one thing. And another thing is, which I want to work on, is to ask what each step, why is the mayor saying like this, and why is Rabbi Yehuda saying this, and why, what's the svar in the machlokas? So,
meaning going back to the Gemara itself?
Yeah, like what is up behind their machlokas? Yep. So, those two, in addition to getting the halakha, how should we...
well, you know, these are all good goals. I mean, you know, it's hard to say what's more important. I mean, in some ways, if you don't have a good pshat in the Gemara itself, you know, then nothing else lasts. Everything else is a building on sand. So you have to be Aymeidan, and pshat, and take the time. You know, Rabbi Yashiv said, and again, this is just pashat, that the big thing that stops us from clarity and learning is that we want to rush. We want the end goal too quickly. And we think that spending too much time now. He did say, this is also Emes, that Ian shouldn't mean looking up every single Sefer, because the Emes is, it confuses a person. That's the Emes. The Emes is a person has too much bilbul when you're looking at different mahalchim of achronim, because the achronim proceed on different assumptions, and what is pashut to one achron is pashut to the other achron the other way, and they don't address each other. If they would address each other, if Rav Shimon would say, my problem with Rav Chaim is that would be one thing, but they don't. They just start at different places, and you know, they're not talking to each other, so to speak. So when I say take time, I don't mean look around at a lot of things. Chazanish says, the Velt makes a big mistake when they say looking at a lot of svarim is Ian. All that is Bekiyas and Svarim. That's a Bekiyas thing. The same way I could do Bekiyas by learning a lot of Gemara, so I can do a lot of Bekiyas by reading a lot of books. Ian is when you actually think things through, and it might just be you just learned a Taisus. For example, let's say all you did in Morning Seder was I learned a Taisus, which gives like three Kashas and gives two Terutzim. And all I did in the Morning Seder was learn that Taisus. I didn't look up this and that and that and that. So a person might feel, I kind of, you know, wasted my time. I didn't do Rishonim. I didn't do Achrayim. But he says, no, the real Ian is when you think it through. And then, if you spend the time thinking it through, and then you look at Rishonim, it actually is a different thing, because then you understand what they're getting at. They understand, oh, now I see it. Because then you'll have kashas, and you know, keep, and then you'll see, oh, the Rashbash, my kasha. See, you wouldn't appreciate it if I just went straight to the different sword. It's like they say, you know, Rashi didn't have a Tosfos. What did Rashi, when Rashi learned Gemara, what did Rashi learn? There was no Tosfos. Tosfos didn't have a, so you know, you're learning the way the Rishonim learned. The Rishonim had to think about the Gemara. And even if that sounds like it's not bringing you to halacha l'maaseh, that it actually is, because when things are mechuber to you, so then you can actually absorb a lot of things much faster later. In other words, if you really thought through Rashi and Tosfos, then you'll be able to see the Rashba faster, the Ramban faster, because you'll understand the kashas they're asking. And, you know, so this is a derech that may seem slower at first, but it actually creates much more hatzlacha. Where when people like Rav Shach were critical about kvetching, and he was, Rav Shach was critical about kvetching in hundreds of letters, he was critical about the mahalach of just looking up gazillions of different svarim, because there you walk away with confusion. And confusion is a big, big danger. So even if you're confused, you should be able to say what you're confused about. That's a big idea. I have a kasha on a sugya, and this is my problem. I don't see how this braisa is a raya to the kasha. Good. Then you think about it a little bit, and you write it down, and you have it. But often, we can't even articulate that. We're just confused. And that's not a good thing. You can't leave a sugya in confusion. If you're looking up too many things, you get confused. Okay, I don't know if this was okay. All right, I'm hanging on here till. Okay. By the way, I want to apologize. There was a little
curfew there. I'm sorry.
I realize you weren't saying it. It's a sensitive. You know what they say? What do they say? They say when somebody's a carpenter, everything he sees is a hammer. Whatever. I'm sensitive on this issue, so I tend to interpret everything in light of that issue.
I'm really sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Oh, yeah. Okay.
My chavrusa asking questions are tough to address, like saving the life of a goy on Shabbos, or even during the week. Or let's say a baby is from a mali, so you have to tell him anyway. So he wants to know, I also want to know, how to address that answer to ourselves, and if someone else asks you. Do you just tell them, well?
No, well, these are hard questions. Let's take saving a goy on Shabbos. So there's actually two things that you need to say. One thing is pragmatic. It doesn't address the moral issue, but it does say like this. It does say, as a practical rule, if a guy has a heart attack in front of me on Shabbos, as a practical rule, I do get him to the hospital. So one has to understand that even if it's technically true, that V'chai Bahem does not permit Chilul Shabbos to be Matzul V'gai, but operationally, I am Matzul V'gai, even if for no other reason the Eva, that they're going to kill Jews if I don't say V'gai. Okay, so that's the first thing to know, meaning to say it's important to know that practically, this will not prevent us from saving a guy. We will save a guy. That's important. We're not going to let the guy die in the street. Now, that does not resolve a maskim. That itself does not answer the ethical issue, because what that's saying is, I save the guy because Jewish lives are going to be in danger. But Lo Yitzur, I would be on a desert island where there's literally only me and the guy, and no one is ever going to know. According to halacha, I wouldn't say, right? He still have that ethical problem. So one approach you might say is the following. It's not that the life of a guy is not worthwhile. After all, killing a guy is an issue of the arise of Lot Sirzach. It's an issue of the arise of a guy. But rather, Shabbos can be nitcha even for a Jew, only because since the Jew will be able to keep Shabbos, even if he's not frum. So we say, Chalel olav Shabbos achas, kidei sheyishma, meaning to say, it's not a self-evident proposition that I could desecrate Shabbos to save a life. It's only because Shabbos itself gets enhanced with that dechiyah. So those, so to put it another way, it's not that the guy's life is so worthless, so not worthy. It's Shabbos is so special, it can only be nitzcheh for those who might possibly keep Shabbos in the future. And even for a Jew, I need that svara. Meaning, it's not self-evident that would that. According to that, it's really the kedusha Shabbos that is implicated, rather than the significance or lack thereof of the non-Jew's life. So that might be one approach. Now, with Amalek, again, the first thing I would say, which doesn't think you fully answered, is all of the limitations on this Amalek thing. Number one, we don't know who Amalek is b'zman hazeh. Number two, according to the Shitas of Rambam, although Rashi is cholek, but the Rambam at least says that even by Amalek there's kriyas shalom, and if they accept the seven mitzvahs of Noach, we don't kill them. An amazing thing. According to the Rambam, we offer shalom to Amalek, mamish, which would mean, in other words, the only Amalek you kill is an Amalek who is not mekabel the Zion mitzvahs. Although, once the father was not mekabel the Zion mitzvahs, you even kill the children. I mean, there's an issue about baby. But the third point I would make, so the first point is we don't know who Amalek is with Manazad. The second point is even Amalek has the option of Kriya Shalom. And the third point I would make goes back to a Roald Dahl story. You heard of Roald Dahl as a writer?
Yeah, storybook.
Yeah, right. Willy Wonka, I think he did. But he wrote a little short story, you may recall, about a baby. The basic story was, imagine you were a doctor in the 1890s. You were called in the middle of the night to a mother who was crying and sobbing because she had her adorable cherubic-faced child who was dying of a lung infection. And you could drain the lungs, and without it, the baby's going to cry, and you see, it's going to die, rather, and you see how much distress the baby is in, how much the baby is suffering, and how much the mother loves the baby and loves the child. But let's say you knew with absolute crystal clarity that this baby is Adolf Hitler, who is going to grow up and kill 6 million Jews. You knew that. Now, we never know that. What would the moral thing be? Would the moral thing be to kill this baby or to let the baby survive and do what he's doing? So the answer would be, if you knew with 100% certainty that by killing this baby, 6 million Jews, 20 million people, would be spared, then morality would actually indicate you killed. Now, that's an impossible thing to apply on a human level, because no matter how bad the criminal is, you know, we don't know. But Hashem knows. So if Hashem is telling you, if you let Amalek survive, you are unleashing a force that will destroy you, then it becomes essentially Hashem telling you, this cute little baby is Hitler. I can't say that. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells me that's the case, then I have to understand that killing this baby is doing a bigger chesed for the world than letting this baby live. So, again, this is predicated on emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. People say, what if the Muslims say the same thing? Well, what can I tell you? I mean, we do get into the circular argument that I know what our Torah says is true, but their Torah says it's so, you know, okay, so then you have to prove the Amitas and Torah. But if one is asking, if one believes the Torah is from God, but one is simply asking, what is the morality of Hashem giving such a commandment? The answer is, the morality of Hashem giving such a commandment is, Hashem is telling you, Amalekim will become Hitlers, and therefore you must do what you're doing. Now, I have to admit that I do have a kasha on this teretz. Maybe the person who tells you won't have this kasha, but I'll tell you my kasha. My kasha is like this. Given the fact that an adult Amaleki could be makabel the Zion mitzvahs, but if he's a baby, he's tough out to the family and you kill him. So my question is, how could Hashem say he'll be Hitler? Maybe when he'll grow up, he would be makabel Zion mitzvahs. But I guess the answer has to be, I mean, I don't know how it works out this way, that anyone who is still a baby, when you encounter them, Hashem is basically saying he's not one of them that's going to do it. Because if he would be one of them that would do it, you wouldn't encounter him as a baby. You'd encounter him as a 14-year-old when he does it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines when you encounter Amalek, right? So we would have to say that any Amalek you encounter that you're mechuyav to kill, HaKadosh Baruch Hu effectively told you that this is going to be Hitler, so you have to kill him. But, you know, it's a complicated swarm.
Something happened to me today that, I don't know if I did the right thing, but these things could come up. So I just asked, I went to a store, and I dropped off something that he should fix yesterday, and I asked him when I should come back. He said, take time tomorrow. Because I don't want to go, and I want to be ready. I don't want to just wait. So he didn't do it. And he said, I'll be done in an hour. So I, like, inside I was really annoyed. But I read from whatever, human relations books, like Derek County and stuff, I shouldn't show that to him. But I don't know what to do. I just pretended that wasn't what I said about it. And I said that, okay, like, you're a good man, and I really appreciate your services, I'll come back again. But what he did was, he said, it'll be done in an hour. I told him he didn't have an hour. So he said, it'll be done in 5 minutes. So there's a guy sat there waiting for him to do the short job that he had a whole day to do. But he didn't care about me, I guess.
Yeah.
And then when I was going to pay him, he said, oh, how much did I tell you it was? And I said, well, let me price it. And he said, no, whatever you say. Like, he's playing games with me. And when he set a price, so I said, but yesterday he told me a lower price. So he said, like, he's just having fun with me. So, and at the end of the day, I'm probably not going to stop going to that store because it's the most convenient one. But what I'm sure is, like, this is an opportunity to do some kind of work on some meter of patience or...
Well, that's what it is. Listen, I'm not excusing his behavior, but like anything else, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us in a life where we encounter difficult people, he wants us to be misakin our midos of learning to judge people with tzchus, of not getting angry, of not getting distracted, or if something like this, like, you know, might affect your kavan and davening, your learning.
Yeah.
So you let it not, or you work on it not affecting you in that negative way. And then the person, in effect, through his bechira to do even things that are bad, becomes a shaliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help you reach a better level of shleimus. So he's doing God's work, even though it's through a bechira of things that are not proper. It's an amazing thing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the wrong bechira of people and uses it to advance his agenda in the world. So sure, I mean, you know, easier said than done. But that's the Nisayon, you know. That's where you kind of say, thank you, Hashem, for difficult people. Because if everybody would be sweet and nice, where's the challenge, right? Right? So it's good that I meet people that are difficult, because then I can become a better person because of it.
Thank you. That helps a lot. I wish I could stay here more.
Okay. So let me ask you, now that I'm over my little anger, which what did you want to get direction? The question you would actually ask me was what?
I thought my father would be coming tonight.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. He came to the, I give an Ein Yaakov thing in the center. He came to the Ein Yaakov, late, and then he left like 2 minutes later. I'm not sure, he forgot something, I'm not sure what it was exactly.
I don't know.
Okay, but...
Okay, I'm sorry,
No, yeah, but, so what was, you're talking about that year or this year?
No, all I just was asking is, sometimes it would be good to be able to follow more, if we could prepare something beforehand. And I didn't mean to ask anything too much. But since my father was coming also, maybe I could explain to him.
So, it's not going to be relevant. When I was going to talk about today, I don't know why nobody came to it, but I was going to talk about today the mitzvah Shtei Halachim. Basically, you know, we're doing a mitzvah that's either in the Parsha or a mitzvah that's in Yonah Diyumah. So I think I mentioned before Pesach, that maybe we would do the mitzvahs of Shemitah, since it's coming up, and we would spend a few weeks in there.
Great.
But other than that, you know, my problem is I don't know a long time ahead of what I'm going to do. I kind of know it like right before.
Right.
So it's hard for me to stay ahead of time to see what I'm going to do. You know.
Yeah.
I did on the morale. I actually sat down. I finished because Richard Jacobs made me do it. But you know, it took a long time. I just give a list. Do you have that list?
Yes, thank you.
Of things. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Actually, Achara Mice, I'm happy that I did. Actually, it's good that he forced me, but it would be something that's hard for me to find the time to do.
Yeah, I didn't want to impose anything
I would say this. I mean, listen, so how do you prepare? I mean, you could do the Michas Kenech, that would be hard, but even in the Sefer HaKenech, look at what the mitzvahs are. You'll notice that there are four or five mitzvahs connected to Shemitah.
Know
what they are, you know, the issue of harvesting, the issue of, you know. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I remember one time the Rav said that it would be convenient if someone would make photocopies for guys. So I always kind of wanted to volunteer for that.
All right. So listen. So now that we have, maybe I can look at it even tonight. I can give you a list of things.
Okay. I only meant it as a...
No, I apologize. Yeah,
I
apologize.
I actually one really wanted to ask you for dividends.
No, it's you did nothing wrong. But okay, I'm sorry. The hadracha I just gave you is a hadracha for me. I in charge of something that, you know, and here there was no reason, no justification. But as they say, see, it's funny. And I was obviously in yeshiva for a number of years, and my rebbeim never gave us Mar Makomas at all. Learn the sugya, and then you hear shir, you know. And then, you know, you talk about your mafalko, of course, you know, you work with the Rebbe, you ask him kashas, and you explain things. But the idea of, like, Mara Makomas ahead of time was not something that I was used to, and yet I see it's extremely common. And also, I hear my similar results a lot, that it was also done, but my impression was that in Slobodka they didn't do it, that's what I think. Maybe their Israel was based on Slobodka. Okay. So the idea of every year I'd have Mar Makomos, that wasn't my minhag, and I didn't get into it. But I hear different people need different things.
Yeah, I didn't feel Nefa, I just was as a favor.
Okay.
So appreciate it. And also, I was thinking about it because, and not to dwell on that, but the guy in the story kind of hurt my feelings, so I was also thinking of very terrible to, even accidentally, to
hurt someone's
feelings, so I really felt that.
Okay.
But thank you for...
But you know, you can, you know, listen, there is a mitzvah of Teichach in the Torah, and to be very, very delicately applied. Again, most times the Yetzer is don't be mochiach, because it'll be taken the wrong way, etc. But if you feel with this guy that, you know, you could have a gentle Tokach or whatever you feel, then you would be Makayim a mitzvah if you could do it in a proper way. Now, proceed with caution, because very often we don't know how to do it in the proper way, so we shouldn't do it. But it would be, if you could do it in a proper way, it would be for his Toelis too, then you could help him be massaged in something.
What I did at the time, I don't know if you, but thought it would be good to, I just spoke in a gentle voice, like didn't get mad or anything, at the least.
Yeah.
And I said, why would you do this? Why did you try to trick me? Why would you do that?
Oh, you said it.
Yeah.
And he didn't say it.
And I kind of laughed and said, like, kultur b'chai v'at
b'chai. Okay, all right.
So
maybe he's not Makai Makai, you know, coming. You know, one story I like, a beautiful, beautiful story, really beautiful story, was about Abraham Lincoln. It's a tremendous, it's really a Muslim Lincoln story, that one of the Civil War generals was John McClellan. And I think it was John McClellan. And Lincoln had to relieve him because he wasn't conducting the battle correctly. And he went personally to his house in Virginia because he felt he needed to do it in a gentle way, nice way. I mean, imagine this, the President of the United States going to a private house. Yeah, and all he had was his secretary, a man with him, one man with him. No secrets there. And McClellan kept him waiting 3 hours. McClellan was taking a bath, taking dinner. You know, he kept the President of the United States waiting 3 hours. And Lincoln's secretary says to him, you know, Mr. President, you know, what type of bizyanus is this? You're the president of this United States. You're letting this guy keep you wait for 3 hours? You know, you could order him. I mean, order him out, you know. Your commander-in-chief. And Lincoln said, what did Lincoln say? The words were, he said, you know, he says, there's too much to, not much, there's too much to do in this world to let, you know, let your pride make you angry. So, just snuck it down. We have to, we have a tafkid in the world. We have to do it. We can't be sidetracked by those feelings. It's really Islamish. Chokhmah b'gayim tamim. You can imagine, Mamish keeping him waiting 3 hours. It's an amazing story.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right, be well.
Have a great night. One last thing. To me, a good way to, the most productive use of my time, well, I don't know what we do it like that. To ask a question through email, that to me, I get a great...
Email is a good medium for me, because whatever, I can read it when I read it.
Right.
That's fine.
And my feeling is like...
But I answer, my answers are brief in email, but I hope they're...
No, I'm
responsive.
So appreciate it. I cannot tell you how much.
Yeah.
We enjoy them so much. I would love to ask to... And learn. I don't know how often they could even be, because I know everybody's very busy. But sometimes I think maybe that is even more practical, more beneficial. But
yep.
I don't know. How do you feel?
To
about
do what?
The email, because
email's fine.
Okay,
that's fine.
Okay, thank you very much.
But you know, within not five a week or whatever. You know,
right.
Okay. Well, you know, just use your judgment to be reasonable.
Thank you.
Okay. Be well. Thank you.